Cool. Can we have a roll call? I think we can just get started because the first few items are relatively straightforward, I hope.
Operator, can you please start the recording?
Recording is on.
Thank you.
So good evening, as it is for me, and thank you for joining this call, our first since Costa Rica. As part of what we agreed in Costa Rica, we will now be reviving our calls, I think, on a weekly basis to try and get the report just knocked into shape and published by the end of April. So, Alice, is the first agenda item review of the of your notes of the Costa Rica meeting?
Absolutely.
Could I have...
And the discussion document as well, the outcome of your discussions in Costa Rica, you know, when you revised the recommendations in light of the comments you received.
Okay, yes. So there are two documents to see out there. Alice did a very nice summary of the meetings, fairly high level, and then has also published the sort of a working document which we put together as really as an aid memoir as we were working through the recommendations. Hi. So does anybody have any comments or corrections to make on those two documents, please?
Who did you write your letter?
I think what I'd just like to note is that the document on the recommendations is very much a rough working document. It's not really a formal record. I think I would really say it's there as a resource for us as we continue to work. But I certainly found the record of the meeting notes very good. So thank you for doing that, Alice. Can we adopt both of those documents, please? Any objections? Okay, so let's adopt those. Alice, please, could you tell me the next item on the agenda?
Yes, next item is the action items list, members to report progress made.
Okay, could you just help me by reading them out one by one and we can see if anybody on the call has done anything?
Okay, so first of all, with the first action item is to revive the call schedule, which I'm going to take mm-hmm. care of. Second item is review and submit language of recommendations 5 to 9 by March 28th. That's for Susan. Review comments submitted to the team and Anita's recommendation tracking document. That's for everyone. Propose alternative language for proxy and privacy recommendations by March the 28th. That's James, Susan, Peter, Seth. Hold the pen on recommendation 3, strategic priority, by March 28th. That's the UM. Find text on accreditation by March 28th. That's for Kathy. Work on language of recommendation 17 by March 28th, Emily. Review language of recommendations on IDNs by March 28th, Armand, Kathy, Wilfried, and Michael. Review chapters and send red line to Seth, Omar, and Alice by March 21st. That's for everyone. And review the body of text in light of comments and integrate changes suggested required by members, Seth and Omar.
Okay. So let's just... So Susan... How's it going?
Well, I haven't worked on the data accuracy 5 and 9 at all, but we did have a call on the proxy and privacy recommendations, and I have reviewed, I haven't reviewed comments by the community, but definitely have spent a lot of time reading the comments by the staff. So I have a lot of questions and concerns.
Okay.
But I will work on the data accuracy.
That's great. So I'll pop that down as in progress, shall I, Susan?
That's very nice way of putting it, Emily.
And I saw that Peter had sent through some wording on proxy privacy, which is great. So we've got that out on the table.
Right, and we've actually gone further with that, James and I and Seth today.
Yeah, and actually I just sent a further draft just a few minutes ago, but I think our sub team may need some more time to work on it.
Well, it's great to have a draft now in circulation that we can all focus on. So thanks for doing that. I had a look at Peter's first draft earlier, which seemed nice. And it's good that you're taking this on. So what would you like the rest of the team to do? Do you want to be just left alone to do some further drafting work? Or do you want the rest of the team to comment at this stage on the list?
I think it may be premature. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was just going to say it's Peter here. Sorry, I'm late. I'm just joining now.
Oh, hi, Peter. Hi, we're doing the walk of shame through the action items that actually we're... thank you for sending through the language on proxy privacy. Seth has just sent a revised draft through to the list, and I'm saying to this small team, what would you like us to do, and what's the next steps on that?
So Peter hasn't really seen the comments, I think, that... Mm-hmm. So I think maybe our sub-team could work on it another week.
Mm-hmm.
That's my feeling. I don't know how the other sub-team members feel.
Well, if anybody's reviewed it, I mean, comments now would be fine, too, though. So I think it's, we've definitely made some twists and turns in our work on proxies, so...
This is Kathy. Can I ask a question, Susan?
Sure.
I apologize. I've been running around for the last few days. Could we get a preview of what's going on and what kinds of major changes, this kind of big picture, what's shifting?
Well, maybe Peter would or Seth would be better at answering that question.
Yeah, so, I think...
You guys said... It was just Peter. I'll have you go.
Well, we took Peter's draft and we embedded it with many comments, and I tried to revise it to address some of the comments. So perhaps it could be revealed in that format, so you see the thought processes up till about 20 minutes ago. If that's okay with my co-sub team members.
That's great. So that's really helpful to know, actually, Seth, that you've both looked at the draft and also looked at the comments, which is great. I see that you have incorporated proxy and privacy, the recommendations into one, which is a direction that many of the comments were encouraging us to go in. I'll just... look forward to further iterations of that with interest and encourage everyone to get involved. This is a very important part of our work, and it's one that we've struggled with. So I'm sure that small team would appreciate early input from people.
So Alice, could Alice just post that to the list? Because I emailed it to Emily and Alice, but not to the list.
Okay.
And quick question, is James in the call? Have you been able to, I don't even know if he's on this call.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, great. Okay. So you're in the loop on all this too, right?
Yeah, I was on the call this afternoon and now this one.
Okay.
So this is Susan. Basically, Kathy, it's sort of strengthening the recommendation and calling for accreditation of proxy service providers, much in the same way that we lined it out for privacy. But we definitely had a discussion about, how we should recommend this, or and how we should lay it out for ICANN, and James' suggestion was, you know, a PDP. So some of that language is, you know, Steph is incorporated in Peter's draft. So it's definitely a stronger recommendation on proxies than the what we ended up with at the end of our work in December.
Okay, great. I'll continue online. Thank you very much.
It's Peter here. I was wondering if I could ask a question, having missed the discussion that Steph, James, and Susan had, and apologies for that. And I've seen the latest version of the text with edits incorporated. And there's some comments in there as well. Do I take it from what you just said, Susan, that the edits themselves reflect where people are currently comfortable with, and that the comments in the sidebars have been addressed by that text, or are there still is there still further edits that are needed?
Go ahead, Steph.
So Peter, what I did is we asked James to revise, because he had probably the strongest concerns, and he embedded comments. The comments are basically mine and then James's. And so I tried to draft to address some of James's comments, but there hasn't been any feedback, any opportunity for any of us to comment beyond that. So I suspect it's a work in progress.
James, did you want to come in? James, I think you've got your hand up, haven't you? Did you want to come in and make a comment?
Well, yeah, and this was, I think, the conversation may have passed me by here a little bit, but you know, I wanted to thank Seth for turning around some of the comments. I know that he probably had this document in his hands for all of an hour. I think to Peter's point, you know, we still have a long way to go, in my opinion.
Yep.
We still need some significant work. So I would say no, that the sidebar comments have not all been addressed. I think it's very, very important with this recommendation in particular, because, you know, I would remind the group that we're already in some respects being cautioned against straying beyond what this group can legitimately do within its remit. And so I would just emphasize that, you know, our credibility, you know, in our and the implementation of our recommendations probably hangs on the understanding of what mechanism ICANN will use to implement what it is that we're putting out there. So we have to be very, I think, very clear, and at the same time be sure that we're not handing ICANN anything that we consider to be a finished product in this area. You know, here's the new accreditation program, here are the rules, here are the sanctions, here are all these things. You know, I think that we should be very careful to say, you should consider this, and here are some things you should consider, but this is a non-exhaustive list. You know, go take this, plug it into your existing process, and, you know, get people from all over the community to develop policy around it. So I think that's just kind of where I'm going with this, and I think that that probably is going to call for some pretty significant restructuring of the language to make sure that it conforms to something that ICANN can actually act upon.
Okay. Any comments on that?
Come on, Buffy.
Yeah.
Just as we move towards concepts that I don't think we've really talked about, like accreditation, I want to kind of wave a flag and say that's a policy implementation detail, and I am that does seem pretty detail oriented for what we're doing. I thought we were talking about generally bringing things in and towards closer in under the umbrella, but not exactly how that's going to happen. So kind of a plus one to James's comment.
Just Peter here quickly, and I understand entirely where James is coming from, and also just catching up quickly, reading my emails while others are talking, I can see now the trail of language in James's comments. But to Kathy's comments, I would say that we have in fact discussed accreditation, and accreditation was what we agreed to walk away from San Jose with on James' recommendation. I understand that we may want to talk about a range of mechanisms. One of them could be accreditation, so on, and that's appropriate. But
it's not the first time it's been brought up, I would like to make very clear.
I'm sorry, when did we talk about accreditation?
Sorry, Kathy, it's in the previous draft recommendations, not on proxies, but on privacy services. So we were comfortable making that recommendation previously with regard to privacy services. So I'm not quite sure I understand the
That we would set up issue. Mandatory rule is what we did. I don't think we ever used the word accreditation. I thought we agreed that we were going to set up mandatory rules that privacy services would follow. That's different than accreditation, because accreditation, as I understand it, is a certain set of organizations that are allowed to provide the services versus a set that voluntarily sign up. So WIPO is accredited as a UDRP provider. We will have accredited URS providers. But I have to say, I hadn't gone to that place with privacy services, because as long as you sign on, you kind of self-accredit, which is different. Accreditation is a third party naming you. So I think these terms may have nuances, which is exactly why I'm concerned. I thought we map out the umbrella and other people define the policy.
James, you've got your hand up.
Yes, and you know, I kind of see where Kathy's coming from. We did talk about policy for privacy services, which by our earlier definition, were already either accredited contracted parties or affiliated with contracted parties. And then we discussed proxy services because they are outside of the ICANN umbrella, that we were talking about voluntary best practices. Now, where the concept of an accreditation program came into play is we discussed it as one possible way to bring folks who are outside of the ICANN umbrella into the field of play. Now, one of the things that I would caution to this group is that we have to be very, very careful how we're positioning this PDP. If it's all, we spent a lot of, I think the original draft from Peter, while it contained a lot of good ideas, also had a very heavy emphasis on sanctions. We need to accredit these folks so we can do all of these things to them. I think one of the things that we have to bear in mind is that people come to ICANN and submit to ICANN authority on their own. So there has to be more of an incentive. It has to be more of a carrot to a proxy provider. Come, please, be accredited. Demonstrate that you're a good guy, and you will have benefit A, B, C, and D. And yes, we will, be obligated to follow the requirements of the accreditation program. So I think that what we need to do is we need to look at ways to, make a compelling case of why someone would want to be accredited. Otherwise, the white hat guys, like the main fight proxy, will just throw up their hands, fold up their tent, and say this business is no longer worth it. And then we'll just be left with the folks who are going to disagree with anything that we put out anyway. So we'll just be a gray market goes bad. So, that was kind of one of the thoughts that we were discussing earlier, is why we need to focus on the benefits of an accreditation as a way of bringing those folks into the ICANN tent. Thanks.
Thank you, James. Peter?
I actually think this is a really important discussion. So I know we're going to have a little sort of side group discussions, but I, if possible, I'd like to continue this just for a little bit. And I guess I have a question for James, because this is something which I've heard said several times, that ICANN has no authority essentially unless people voluntarily come to ICANN. And I really just want to ask a question about that, because it's not clear to me that that is actually the case. As I understand it, registrars can only sell GTLD names if they are an accredited registrar. Perhaps I've understood this incorrectly, and then there are unaccredited registrars that don't have contracts with ICANN that are able to sell GTLD names. And if they have to be accredited by ICANN, then in my view, ICANN has a very substantial power in this area if it chooses to use it. So I guess that's my question. Have I misunderstood, and is there something that I'm missing here?
You are correct that ICANN registrars must be accredited to sell GTLD domain name registrations, but I think that the you're discounting the line, the distinction between the registrar and the proxy service provider. They are not the same entity.
No, I understand that fully, and so we need to consider ways that they can be brought in if they are going to be brought in, and requiring registrars not to knowingly take registrations from unaccredited providers would do that, as one example.
But Peter, do you have any thoughts over James's suggestion of emphasising benefits and I can't remember the word, it's a bit late here, you know, good things carrots rather than stick?
Absolutely, and I'm all for it. Absolutely all for it. The sanctions really should be a last resort. If everyone played ball and agreed to be good actors, that would be ideal and the perfect situation. But I think we need to be mindful of real-world situations and make sure that if that isn't the case, we are also well prepared. So we need a balance of both.
Okay. I think what I'd like to propose is that, you know, we've got a very good team of people working on this and appreciate the work that you've done so promptly after the Costa Rica meeting. There's it's clearly going to be a difficult road, and there's stuff to thrash out. I think my only observation, and this is obviously looking at it without the track changes, is the draft is now substantially longer than it was when Peter sent it around. That doesn't necessarily, I think that it's probably because I'm looking at it in a way that doesn't show the comments, but I think it's a good step if we can try to take on board the guidance we've had from public comments, that perhaps distinguishing between the two it might make it a bit too much of something that might not be significant in practice. We do, I'll probably repeat my mantra, which is that we can always fall back on the agreed language that we went out to public comment on if we're unable to take this forward. But I don't think we're nearly ready to call that yet, and appreciate very much the work that's been done. Any more on that? Okay, moving on to the next action item, which is mine. Hold the pen on strategic priority by the 28th. I sent out a sort of, you know, very late. I don't expect anyone's managed to get on top of it yet. An attempt to do that. What I was trying to capture was the discussions we'd had in Costa Rica, where we really said, hang on, we think that we might be trying to get two ideas across in a single recommendation. And I also took the theme from the draft of the proxy privacy, where we tried to get the findings before the recommendations. But I'm very happy to take comments on this. I didn't go back to the draft report and dig out the findings on strategic priority. So I kind of did them again. I'm sure the draft can be improved, so very happy to take comments or queries on it. I think who's that?
It's just Peter, Emily, and as I've been doing all morning, I'm reading emails as others talk, so I was just reading your recommendation 3. And you know, in the 30 seconds I've had to consider it, I just want to congratulate you. I think you've done a good job of pulling them apart and putting down some words. So the approach looks good from my perspective.
Thank you. Cool. Thank you very much. Why don't we revisit this on the list and also come back to it next week with any... Can I ask... you to consider specific comments or edits for this for next week, and we can try and put it to bed then, I hope. Okay. The next on the list is the accreditation text by the 28th of March. Kathy. Kathy?
I'm sorry, I had to step away for a second. I apologize.
Sorry. Kathy, we're just waiting to hear from you on the task that you have of final text on accreditation by the 28th of March, which is obviously today.
I am not as proactive as James, Susan, Peter, and Seth, so I apologize.
So I'm going to put that one down as in progress?
Yes.
Okay, like Susan's one?
Yes.
So we'll look forward to a draft on the list in the next few days. Is that going to be doable?
That sounds good.
Great. Okay.
Thanks.
And the next one is me, and again, just circulated something very late on today. I don't know whether anyone's had a chance to have a look at it. Recommendation 17, just as a reminder, was the famous alternative for a sort of a point where people can look up. Through our discussions in Costa Rica, we seemed to be going towards having that for everyone, but also making it very clear we're not talking about transferring any data, we're not talking about ownership changing, we're not talking about policy changes, but merely an operational enhancement to the existing internet service. So perhaps I can ask for comments again on the list, and we can discuss next week. Okay. The IDN recommendations, is there anybody able to speak to this on the call? I don't think we've got Salmad or Wilfried or Michael, so that would leave Kathy. I'm assuming we haven't seen anything. I'm assuming that this has not yet been done.
This has not yet been done.
No. Okay. So we'll look forward to some progress on that in the next week. I think that would be good. Right. Just laughing at the next one because I just know no one's done this. Review your chapters and send red line to Seth. Has anybody done this? I haven't. And this
was
by last week.
This is Bill. And I did mine because you own it.
You've done it, have you?
Oh, yeah.
You sent it to Seth.
I did my part.
Great. So, Seth, have you been overloaded with people sending in their red line chapters to you?
Not that I'm aware of. But,
no, maybe it's the wrong address people are sending it to.
I think that must be the...
I think that where you have mass failure to do something, you have to kind of review whether or not your target was realistic, and perhaps with hindsight, 21st of March was a little bit optimistic. How about, do you think it's realistic for us I actually think it's probably unrealistic for us to try and do this in the next week. I see the priority as trying to nail these recommendations and the language, and that the red line should be something that's going on in the background, and we should be thinking about by probably the end of the first week of April. But we do need to do it. Okay, I'm going to take a silence as a sign of serenity and non-objection. And Alice, perhaps we can just review the target date on that and say by the whatever it is of April. Is it the 5th or 6th of April?
Yes.
I think the 6th is Good Friday for those who celebrate Easter. So maybe we can say by the 5th.
Emily, can I just check, is this target date the one for finishing up the recommendations or finishing up the red line?
No, it's not. It's finishing up the red line chapter. That's sort of going back into the long report and having a review of that.
Look, I'll just... I'll take the first stab at this. I don't think I'm going to be able to do mine before Easter. I will be extremely happy if we can get all our recommendations sorted by then. I mean, there's the proxy one still up in the air. Not really, but, you know, it needs some work, obviously.
Yeah.
But from what I've heard, I think we're actually probably talking on the same page and just need to talk about text and sensitivities around PDPs and the way we refer to things. There's two others which you've just circulated, which we've just seen, and there are, I believe, a bunch of others which are still out there. So there's the portal. Oh no, the portal one was one you sent around. But there's the IDN ones and a couple of others. Perhaps better that for next Wednesday's call we actually sign off on those if we can, and then we'll know what we're targeting with our chapter revision.
I think you're right. I mean, my feeling is that this that our priorities are the recommendations. We've got a fairly mature draft in the chapters. If Seth and Omar could do some work in terms of the actual specific comments and make some text suggestions, but maybe we can go to the other side of Easter for that. So if I can, what I'd like to propose then, in the light of what Peter says, which I think is absolutely right, is that we go the week after that. I can't think of the date. Let me just have a look. Why don't we go to the 13th of April for the chapters? Alice, if you could just add that in, add that date in on the final two bullet points. Okay. Can we? Thank you for your work on the tasks to date. It's always a challenge after we've had an intense week of an ICANN meeting, and sometimes people take a bit of time after that to get back into the swing of it. So really appreciate the work that's been done so far, and let's focus on the recommendations quite hard for the next week and see if we can really get the majority of them signed off by on our call next week. Okay. What's the next thing on the agenda? Here it is. Comments, review. Oh, that's me. I had a look through all of the comments that Alice, and thank you very much. I found that the document of putting the comments next to the recommendation very, very helpful to get things in perspective. I've made numerous sort of comments on the comments. I don't want to detain people longer than necessary by reading through them all. I think that a lot of them are within the themes that were expressed in Costa Rica, in that, you know, it's clear that there's a lot of support for the recommendations. People on recommendation one want to make sure that we're talking about just a documentation job, not a PDP, which I think we've agreed. On accuracy on recommendation two, we need to just expressly say that if we think that policy development is necessary, that it should go through the appropriate processes. The strategic priority one did garner quite a lot of comments. Many were supportive. I think that there were some staff queries, and I wondered whether we wanted to say something about this, so that the staff were sort of going on the line that, well, senior member of staff is already there. We have John Jeffries, a senior counsel, who has the responsibility for compliance. I think in the redraft that I sent around today, I tried to draw the distinction, which I think was implicit and explicit in our discussions, that we're not just talking about compliance, but about who is as a whole. There's been some fairly interesting suggestions from the UK government about getting an independent compliance czar, which I think we heard in our meetings with the GAC and subsequently. The recommendation 5, again, drew a lot of comments, and I'd encourage people to look at them. I think that we need to change the wording from unreachable to undeliverable, because that seems to be confusing people. And we've got the classic situation, which I think means we're probably fairly close to the mark, in that some people are saying 50% is too severe, too harsh a target, and some people are saying it's not harsh enough. The staff were saying, do we mean that we need to repeat the NORC study and bear in mind it costs $200,000? And I think we say to this, bearing in mind the discussions we've already had, no, we're not saying that, but we do need a statistically significant sample. We don't really care how you do it. It's up to you, but you need to find the best, most cost-effective way of measuring it. And staff also said, do we mean 100% accuracy? And I thought that was clear from the wording, actually, that we're not talking about 100% accuracy. We're talking about just improving the records which are totally unreachable. I think that we do need to... I'd like to sort of borrow the language from the registry stakeholder group, or the registrar, it might have been, saying that we're talking about using existing tools and policies on this 50% one, because some of our commentators are saying, oh, you need a PDP. In fact, staff are saying you might need a PDP on this. And I think that we should be clear what we're talking about and limit the language in that regard. Is this helping everyone with me just burbling on about this?
No, it's very useful, Emily.
It's very useful
for me anyway, because I've yet to read it, so it's a good overview for
Fine.
Me. I promise to read it.
Yeah.
And I'm quite intrigued by the idea that staff suggests that having a mechanism to reduce inaccuracy would require a PDP. I'm wondering how useful they think their existing tools are in that case. It's telling in some regard.
Well, we did hear from them that they thought it was a new requirement.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'm confused by that one, but maybe I've misread it. I think that we should in some place refer to the ongoing dialogue about verification, which is obviously, I think that there's some quite exciting ideas going around about verification, and it might well find its way into the RAA. I don't know, but it might. I think that we do need to say something somewhere that verification will be great if it happens, but in any event, you do have the legacy problem, and that's affecting a huge number of domains, so it doesn't actually get you off the hook from trying to do this. On this, the non-commercial stakeholders group made a very good point, and one that I think we agree with, but we probably haven't stated clearly enough in the report, which is that contactability is more important than accuracy, or that we think that that is the you know, the actual baseline that must be achieved. Accuracy is great, but what is essential is contactability. Let me just see.
Emily?
Yes.
Yeah,
is that you, James?
James, it is. Sorry. Yeah. I just had a comment. I think you may have said something here in passing that you know, we think that verification would be great. I think that we need to qualify, if we're going to make a statement like that, we need to qualify it a little bit more substantially. I mean, we've talked about, it would be great. It would be great if, you know, it didn't create language barriers, for example, for people to get online, or cost barriers, or that people weren't blacklisted, for example, or whole sections of the globe didn't go dark because they were underserved. So I think we should probably maybe not just... rubber stamp the idea that who is verification would be great. And maybe that's not what you meant to say by that, but I just...
No, it isn't, actually. I think you and I have talked about verification, and we've talked about it in the group. I think it creates... It will solve some problems and probably create a whole load of new problems. And so I was probably being just over summarizing on that. I think that what I meant to say is whether or not verification is adopted, there is still a legacy issue on data accuracy.
Yes.
That's probably a better way of saying it.
Yes, that's correct. And if we do want to weigh in on the verification merits, we should make sure we're putting a balanced picture there.
Yeah. It's probably quite useful at this stage to just have a little straw poll on that, really, to see whether we think we should, whether we can usefully weigh in on the verification issue that has popped up, you know, quite a lot in some of the comments, and it's obviously a live issue in other parts of the community. Is it something that we want to comment on? If we don't, will we seem to be ignoring it? Is it too late in the day to add that sort of substantive content? Anybody want to comment?
Peter here, Emily.
Hi, Peter. Go ahead.
Hi. look, I'm happy to comment. I agree with both you and James. I think it's probably worth commenting on. We're all very aware of what's going on in the RAA negotiations, or at least that there is something going on. For most of us outside the closed door, we're less aware of the detail. But I think that's probably where the sensitivity lies. As we've sort of explained it to the community already, like, we're looking for an accuracy increase. However that can be achieved, it appears that one way to do that is to look at some verification needs to be done. You know, there's a lot of issues around that. So in addition to portraying it sensitively, I think we've also got to be aware that it's very difficult, as we've said many times, to comment on a system in progress. I think none of us would want our recommendation to do some damage to what was already underway in the RAA negotiations, I guess. But I'm extremely happy to comment on it and put it forward as a flag and something which could be usefully considered and so on.
Yeah, I think that's probably the approach to take, is to note that these discussions are going on, that negotiations are ongoing at the time of writing this, and to make the distinction between verification on the way in and the legacy problem. And obviously that the dialogue around practical and effective means of verification are going to be, going to take the discussion forward, or it's going to be useful. Okay. On recommend, unless there's anything more on that, on recommendation 8, which was about graduated sanctions, generally people saying yes, this is all very good. The registries are saying define serial or serious breaches, I think they mean, I don't really actually see that as our role, unless anyone disagrees. I think that they're quite right that these would need to be defined in as the graduated sanctions are articulated. Something that staff pointed out, and I think we need to go back and have a look at the contract, is they're saying in the RAA 2009 it already allows for a graduated sanctions, which is something I think we missed and something I wasn't really aware of. Is James...
No, that's correct, yeah. And we did discuss that when we discussed with the compliance, that they have now this this ability to suspend a registrar, which they have actually exercised for the first time.
Right.
Which allows a registrar to manage the names that it currently has, but not to add new names through registration or transfer.
Right. Did, when we're talking about clear and graduated sanctions, are we meaning more than that, or are we referring to the ones that are already in the contract?
Emily, this is Susan. That was a point that I made because I was involved in, you know, possibly pushing ICANN compliance to suspend a registrar, and it just seemed even that, even though that's not terminating a registrar, that there should have been some other sanctions prior to that.
Yeah.
So I know we had that discussion. So there, so to me, there should be a step of, you know, I don't know, fines. I mean, I wouldn't, I don't want to define what those actions would be, but I think our intent was that there would be more actions that they could take in smaller steps.
Something less than just termination.
Suspension is, I mean, suspension, that really puts a hold on it.
Yeah. So James is saying it is correct because you can suspend rather than just terminate, but you, Susan, are saying actually that something a little bit milder, a sort of slap on the wrist kind of level of sanction would also be helpful.
Right.
And so in answer, because staff have specifically posed the question here, do we mean better education or are we asking for greater contractual tools? And I think we're asking for greater contractual tools.
Yeah.
So we just need to make that clear, and I think that's very helpful that
so
staff
Emily,
pointed that out. Yeah.
This is Bill. The right to suspend, ICANN's right to suspend, is limited, though, to when there's a fundamental and material breach. So it's still a, while they can suspend and they can terminate, the bar that they have to cross in order to suspend is quite high.
So right.
I don't believe that's really, sort of measured and going from, you know, at least what I intended or I thought we were intending in measured responses. And
so, yes, it's the sort of 0 to 60 in 3 seconds, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is possible they do have two, it appears, suspension and termination.
Yeah. So we can just add a little bit more clarity, I think, would probably be helpful there.
Okay.
I'd like to consider that we discuss, financial penalties.
Yeah.
As something, you know, somewhere in between the nasty letter and suspension. And that kind of opens up a larger discussion about different SLAs for or service level agreements for things like WHOIS systems. As a registrar that has invested significant dollars and people into keeping our WHOIS systems active, it's very frustrating to know that there are other registrars that sounds like they've got it running on, you know, grandma's old Dell that they found in the closet or something like that, and would definitely like to see some teeth behind the service level agreement on that.
Peter here. Can I just send a comment to the chat, but plus one to what everyone has just said. The sort of a suspension and termination is, yes, there's a graduation there, but I think we're looking at additional, I'd always envisaged that we were looking at far subtler and less sort of heavy-handed interventions early on. So for people who cross some certain threshold, they're subject to additional reporting or auditing or oversight requirements, as James just mentioned, sort of some financial penalties and incentives for people who don't potentially. It can, again, as we've talked about all the time here, it cuts both ways. So I'm all for setting up a system which has multiple steps with certainly a good number of steps, I would think, before we would go to a suspension.
Exactly.
If that being the first step is still very worrying to me. There should be, for everyone's point of view, including for the registrars, they should have plenty of warning and plenty of chance and plenty of opportunities to have smaller, less intrusive compliance activities before a suspension.
I agree, but I will say that they are all intrusive, every single one.
yeah, of course.
Right, but so for me, you would hope to go to is a... Well, basically, more of a yes. We want to do the right thing, and I'm not James. I'm not suggesting you aren't. You guys are not right. We want to do the right thing, as opposed to waiting till the end and then having to say, "Oh my, you know, with all this stuff now that we have to secure in order to get out of suspension." If the gap between those, you know, those two is just huge, and I think that's part of the problem is if, you know, many people are living in that gap, and.
And they know it.
And they know it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And they know there's nothing that anybody's going to be able to do to them.
Well, they've made that calculation that, you know, to do the right thing is more costly than to suffer the consequences. And, you know, the economic, the economist in me says make the right thing the compelling financial case and these problems will be reduced.
I agree. I'm in favor of economic incentives for doing the right thing, and you know, a little bit of stick or variety, you know, basically multiple levels of attempting to force compliance, with lots of time to cure. Right?
Yeah.
I don't want us to get into a state where we just say off with their heads. If there are issues, they should be notified. People should be notified quickly and given an opportunity to cure.
Or on the incentive side, you know, allow them to advertise or show a badge that they're a preferred accredited
yep.
ICANN registrar.
Exactly.
Because they have put in a higher level of service, you know, or they
right.
provide a higher level of service.
Platinum provider.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like we've lost Emily.
Well, just while we're waiting for Emily, and it seems that there was some sort of agreement on that path that Bill finished up with the exciting proposition of platinum providers. Is such a thing possible, just out of interest? I mean, I understand last time the RAA was negotiated, there were sort of incentives for signing on, as I understood it, and some of those were financial, like you paid less fees to ICANN or something like that. Sorry, I don't know the detail of this. But
well,
is it possible that ICANN can build this kind of thing in if there is, for registrars who have very good compliance across a range of functions, that their costs to ICANN decrease, and for the other guys, their costs, relatively speaking, whether they increase or not, but relatively speaking, they... Pay more? Are these sorts of things actually possible?
Well, if I could respond, I think ICANN has a very, you know, as one of its core values, has this non-discrimination against contracted parties, and I think that it definitely includes that in their registry contracts as well. So, you know, it doesn't matter if it's GoDaddy or somebody who just set up business 5 minutes ago. If they're accredited, then you have to treat all registrars equally. Putting that aside for a moment, I think that it's probably worth, maybe not within the context of this review team, but in terms of other things, I think we would be welcome to the idea that registrars...
Hello, I'm back.
Hi, Emily. We just went ahead without you. We're a leaderless organization like a starfish.
Have you finished now? Have you done it?
We fixed everything. So just to continue, Peter, I think we would love to see something that, provides rebates for good actors and penalties for bad actors and really sort of says, hey, you're externalizing a lot of your costs now onto the community by not having a who-is system or by, you know, allowing bad guys to come on your network. So, I think that, we're interested in talking more about these types of approaches as opposed to, hello, we're ICANN compliance on the phone, you have 24 hours to answer our email questions or your debt,
yeah.
Which is kind of the calls that we get now.
Yeah, well, I think this is a conversation, if this isn't the place, but it possibly is, because, I mean, we've got our things about graduated sanction. I think we're all willing to look at the incentive side, and in our strategic recommendation, at least I think the earlier version, we had in there stuff about making a culture of compliance, however that happens. But mm-hmm. if this isn't the place to talk about this, then I'd love to talk to you about it somewhere else, James, because this is something I'm really very interested in.
And
yeah, I think that we can probably... Sorry, Susan.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, this is that, the incentive and having a sort of a platinum provider, that exists in almost every business, and so it seems like ICANN could put something in place that maybe it's not contractual but it's voluntary, and then they receive some sort of a bonus to do so, to follow the best practice rules. So, and then hopefully leading into contractual requirements down the way when the whole world sees how well it works. So, it's not a novel concept. It's just ICANN hasn't implemented anything like this.
Mm. Yeah, thanks for that, Susan. Kathy?
This is interesting because I think there's a lot of agreement. Kind of my question that I put on the list was, what direction are we going, and how much detail do we want to go down? But I also just wanted to note that the world is going to be changing, and in some ways the changes are already incorporated because the new GTLDs are coming out, and within each new GTLD application, there's a requirement of talking about how you're going to handle certain types of abuse. So, and all sorts of domain name registration information. So this idea of the platinum translated into the fact that if you have a dot bank, you're not going to get it unless you really stipulate to lots and lots and lots of checks and security and abuse and fraud monitoring versus a dot civil liberties where it might be lower. So in some ways, this concept may be incorporated. And I think I heard Soka talk about this a little bit at the RAA session, where kind of the type of monitoring may depend on the type of use, and we may be moving towards that naturally. And maybe we're helping push them in the right direction, too. Thanks.
Thank you. I think that the points that I draw out of this discussion, most of which I've missed, is that we're liking the idea of, well, we need to clarify that we are talking about extra contractual powers, not just education. But as well as talking about sanctions, we want to also talk about incentivizing good behavior. I think that's a point very well made there. I'd encourage you to have offline or online conversations to just align your thinking further on that. That would be very helpful. If I can just, continue with my sort of canter through some of the highlights that I picked up from the comments. On recommendation 9, one of the comments made by staff on this, which, again, I'm not sure if I fully understood, is they are suggesting that we might need to have a consensus policy, which would obviously require a PDP, to have registrars communicate with registrants their existing obligations. I just don't understand that one at all, and maybe I've misread it, but I don't understand why that would require a PDP. Can anyone
I agree.
Help me with that?
I agree, Emily. This is Lynn, because it's already been established that, you know, ICANN is going to be compliant with privacy regulations, and that is a common one, that you basically notify registrants who would be individuals. So that doesn't make sense to me either.
I suppose if we put ourselves in the shoes of the compliance team, if they're anticipating that registrars who don't do this communication will be sanctioned in some way, then they need some power that they can point to or some authority to do that. So that might be where they're coming from on that, but it did seem a rather a heavyweight and lengthy process to go through.
Yeah, isn't the PDP process something like 3 years?
No. No.
Oh, really? I thought it was a very lengthy process.
It can be.
It can be, but, you know, I'd say it probably averages 12 to 16 months.
Well, James, am I just off the wall on this one? I mean, is it something that you would anticipate would require a PDP to have registrars communicate with registrants their obligations under the contract?
I don't know what they're talking about. We should probably get clarification. It seems like if it's something relatively straightforward, it could be added to the charter of an existing relevant PDP. It doesn't have to have its own.
The other thing is this is the kind of thing that could be added to a business program that says, well, you get the gold, silver, diamond seal if you do the following thing. Right? What I see with ICANN, I agree with James that they are very good, very careful about being fair and equitable. Okay, that doesn't mean everyone has to be treated absolutely the same. Right? There can be, you can say, okay, here are, in order to be considered in this group, here are the things you have to do. In this group, you do these things, and that's being fair and equitable. Doesn't mean that it is. That everyone is absolutely equal and we don't treat people differently. It means, you know, there are expectations and we treat you based on the expectations and the things you agree to do.
So, right. It's equitable treatment versus equal treatment, where everyone has the opportunity to be treated at the highest level of service. But
exactly. And I know what has happened, in my opinion, is ICANN basically is treating everybody equally, and the bar is very low now as a consequence.
Yeah.
And there are good actors who are paying a price for that, and that's unfair. And I want to reward them in some way or force the others to come up.
Well, perhaps we can handle this in our findings or text preamble to this recommendation on graduated sanctions and the distinction between equitable and equal treatment, and that, you know, so long as there are equal opportunities for all registrars, then that there's no reason why, you know, good behaviour should not be rewarded, even if that's with financial incentives. James, thank you for joining the call. I noted that you have to drop and look forward to speaking to you next week, I hope.
Was this a 60-minute call or was this a 90-minute call? I may have missed
actually,
my calendar.
I don't know if it was specified. I'm going to carry on until 30:30 and we'll see where we would get to. I'm nearly finished on this item.
Okay. Well, thank you, and I apologize. It may entirely be my fault and I misunderstood that.
So. No, I don't think that we specified, but. Alice is normally extremely efficient, so she probably did, and I just didn't notice. Moving on to the comments on the later recommendations, on recommendation 10, we you know, there's some comments that, you know, this is a fair, this is the privacy recommendation, that these are quite complex. Others recommend, you know, or note that what we're recommending requires a PDP, which I think we would all agree with, and we should probably just state. The single point of contact comes up from several commentators and might well be worth a look. I think that there are obviously, staff point out, that with a number of these recommendations, there are going to be financial budgeting, resourcing impacts, which will need to be thought about. And so I think that my take on that for us is, if we don't think that they require a major resourcing but just simply a change of emphasis, then we should say so with various recommendations. And equally, if we do think that they will need resourcing, again, we can help by being a bit clearer on that. There were a number of general comments on things that people felt we had missed. I mean, a lot of them were just sort of nice comments saying that we'd done a good job, which is always very nice. The European Commission and I think the non-commercial stakeholders group would like us to be more explicit in our support of proxy and privacy services, which I think we do mention, but we could probably bring this forward into our findings a little bit more. The European Commission sets out several requests for us to address data protection more explicitly and the need for protection of individuals against data abuse, which I think is a fair point. And they refer us to a number of documents. Actually, one of our commentators, the N3AAWG, actually answered our request for people to highlight priorities, and they said they thought our recommendations 1, 3, 8, 10 and 16 are priorities. I think there were a couple of comments, and this is something that Cassie highlighted during our talks in Costa Rica, was that we should be explicitly stating that the implementation of applicable or national laws should, of course, take into account human rights, respect for individuals' privacy, or freedom of expression, and so forth. So those comments came through from NCSG, from Zahid Jamil, and from Avri Doria. And finally, the UK government suggested the need for a Who Is reform team to take our place, and made some very detailed suggestions about the composition of this reform team, and finally remarking that ICANN's failure to adequately address and implement Who Is has seriously undermined its performance in serving the global public interest. So on that note, that's concludes my very brief run-through of the comments. But I would say that once again, I think we have been extremely fortunate with the quality and quantity of comments that we've garnered from across the community. There's some really substantive stuff in there. It's well worth a read. And, you know, obviously people will have their... we'll be working through in little groups looking at different bits, but do, as Seth has done with the privacy and proxy, look back at the public comments specifically when you're amending. Okay, let's move on. I'm just trying to think of what the next agenda item is. I can't see this. Where are we on the agenda, Alice?
Next agenda item is next steps.
Next steps. Well, I think we know our next steps, don't we? Because we're basically going to take on the work that we promised to do for today, circulate comments on the list, for any documents that have been circulated. Susan, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Well, one of the next steps, I think, or something that I think we need to do in this report, and whether it be a recommendation or I'm not sure how to hold ICANN staff accountable here, but I think we need some draft language surrounding a call for a specific time frame for ICANN to deliver back to us or to the community, maybe not to us if the team isn't in existence at that point, but a specific time frame and a developed and detailed plan for implementing this, something that they're going to commit to and that we can go back as individuals then contributors to ICANN and say, wait, you said, the Who Is Review team said this, you agreed, and this is how you said you're going to implement it, and now it's 18 months out and you haven't done anything. So whether we add that as another recommendation, and I could draft some language around that and send it out to the group, or if there's a different mechanism that we can use, I'm open to that too.
I think that would be really helpful. If you could give us a starting point, Susan, that would be brilliant. And I noticed that Kathy said on the chat another very good point, which is this is something that we can talk to Denise about in the next call. But if we've got some starting language to go with, and actually there was one or two comments about timeframes that came through in the public comment. One that I recall said they thought that this could be achieved in 6 to 12 months. Now, I think actually, realistically, some of these targets can't be achieved within 6 to 12 months. But we, you know, perhaps as you're going through the recommendations, you could think of appropriate timeframes and also have a look at those comments and priorities as well. I think that might help. But that would be brilliant if you could do
that. I'm not sure that we want to say, you know, give a time frame for each recommendation, but we want ICANN to come back to us and give that to us in a detailed developed plan is the way I see it.
I totally see your point. I take your point. You're quite right. Yes.
Yeah, I have a vague.
Carry on, Lynn.
I have a vague memory that the AOC actually lays out a process where once our report is finalized, I think ICANN has some kind of obligation to respond within a certain amount of time.
Right. It just I'm not sure that is concrete enough. So I'll look at that also in drafting this, but I think we really need to hold them to the fire.
It's 6 months.
Lynn, would you be able to just look up that point?
Sure.
And help Susan out with that?
Sure.
And it would be, I think, just to emphasize the talking to Denise's point, like this, I recall from our discussion in San Jose, Steve was very clear that with the ATRT, ICANN sounded like a very comprehensive tracking tool for where things were up to and so on, and he indicated that they were going to use a similar mechanism for the Who Is review. So it may just be finding out a way to getting some clarity on that and then referring to it in a way that makes sense. It sounds like they certainly intend to do this, and I'm very keen to hold them to it, but we probably should acknowledge what they're intending to do as part of it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, very fair.
And then other issue I think is, as we've talked through some of the staff comments, it's obvious that we need to talk to them again. And I mean, we did have a phone call with several of us on that in that discussion, but I didn't find it very fruitful. Now that we've seen their comments, I think we need to, you know, sort of ask, you know, for one of the things was, you know, why the registrant education and notification, we need to get a clearer picture of what they're thinking about. Maybe we shouldn't be doing that yet until we've refined all of our recommendations, but I do think I would hate to end this team and provide the final report without another discussion with John Jeffries and his staff.
Yeah, I think that's awesome, Susan, and it's something that Kathy was very keen to try and set up for this call, actually. And Denise unfortunately couldn't make this call because she's literally on a plane or in transit.
Right.
But why don't we do it like this? We talk to her as our very informed contact and liaison on the next call, and Kathy's just reminded us she's offered to walk through staff comments at the next meeting. Would you like to set up a special telephone call with John and the other team and throw it open to the staff, or should we have the preliminary chat with Denise first?
Well, I think we need to refine some of the recommendations. You know, I think we have still some work to do, but then I mean, Denise would be great. She's always amazingly knowledgeable, but John Jeffries is one of the individuals that are actually going to be core to implementing these recommendations, and there seems to be some pushback from him. That was my opinion in our last phone call with him. So I think that a recorded call with John Jeffries and his staff and whoever else within the ICANN staff would have a part of this would be good. I think it would just be good due diligence on our part.
You're being generous with the word push.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, it is recorded, you know.
I know.
Okay, Kathy, you've got your hand up. Sorry, had you finished, Susan?
Well, no, I'm just really concerned about your language on recommendation three because I'm not seeing the part about the senior member of the executive team in that, and I do not want to. So I can do that on the on email thread, but
yeah,
I don't know why that was removed.
By accident, I'll be honest. So thank you, and just put it back in.
Okay, that's fine. That is absolutely fine.
Okay.
Because the response from ICANN staff was very disturbing to me because John Jeffries is not the person, the high-level person that we want. And
I also thought but forgot to put in that there are a couple of points where we should make it clearer where we don't think that the current situation meets what we're recommending.
Right.
You know, that we are in fact recommending change. And this is probably a good point to do that. And I forgot to do that as well. So I'm very happy to have another look at that text, Susan, because I just wanted to get something out to the team before the call. So thanks for pointing that out.
I'm not trying to beat you up, but I was just like, oh, no, let's don't lose that.
No, it's very helpful. Kathy, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I wanted to suggest, I like that idea of talking to John Jeffrey, after we've done our work, but I'd also love to talk to Denise sooner rather than later. I found some things about staff comments disturbing. I also found some that I didn't understand. Some of it's been highlighted here that things we think are easy and straightforward, or at least straightforward, maybe not easy, they think are PDPs. I know all comments are equal, but since ICANN staff is charged with implementation, I'd love to spend a little more time working to clarify so that before we respond to John Jeffries, we've gone through I'd love to go through the comments with Denise. It should take, 10, 15 minutes, max 20 in our next call. She's offered to do it. So I'd like to suggest that as a first step. And then after, when we're farther down on our work and finalizing the recommendations, coming back through with senior staff, I think is a great idea.
Yeah. That's very workable.
Okay.
Emily, if I could, I think we also, though, we need to respond to those comments so that the community can see the response that we give to comments made by staff, as an example, where they think it's going to be very difficult. I think we should be saying, regardless of whether we have a conversation with them, we disagree. We think this can be done you know, in such and such a manner.
But Bill, thank you for raising that, because that was something that really occurred to me going through all of the comments, actually. And it's something that came through in the ATRT recommendations, is that where you have a public comment and you're not following, you're not taking on board the comment, it's really helpful to explain why. And I think that we could probably develop an appendix where we, you know, just literally add another column to this table and either say, you know, incorporated or explain why we disagree. I'm not going to suggest that we do this right now, but I would like to do it before the end of our time together. So thanks for that timely reminder. Peter?
While I have the mic, plus one to that idea. I think short to the sweet, because we probably won't have a huge amount of time to do it, but I think a response to each of the inputs would be a really valuable part of our report. Hopefully in the majority of cases it will be simply pointing to parts of the report where either we on balance we went a different direction than they recommended, or on balance we did what they recommended, and hopefully it'll be a relatively sort of easy cross-referencing exercise in some ways. Useful. And I was also just going to come back to comment on the discussion which was just before that, which was on the recommendation 3 about a senior member of staff being... So we've now split that recommendation into two parts. One part is specifically about who is in all its aspects, and the other part is about compliance. Just putting on the table, and in terms of not pointing at particular individuals, but I'm certainly very interested to make sure that who is given appropriate priority, and that may involve having a who is SAR or, you know, a senior member of staff and so on. On contractual compliance, I think I'm coming to the position of almost wanting more, and that is potentially making sure that compliance is set up as a separate regulatory unit. So I'm not sure whether other people are going to come along with my discussion on that, and if anyone followed the GAC discussions with the board in San Jose. But I would be more interested in principles in terms of compliance than with pointing at a particular staff person, because I think the sort of thing which I'm interested in seeing with compliance is actually a pretty major shift from ICANN in the medium to longer term. So just putting that out on the table.
Thanks for bringing that up. That suggestion is made explicitly in the UK government's contribution to the public comment. It was also discussed, as you say, in the GAC board discussion, and the response from the chief executive was, we've considered that, we're not doing it. I'm summarising probably unfairly, but was fairly negative. Anybody have strong views against Peter's suggestion, which is, just to repeat, he's proposing that we strengthen our recommendation on compliance set up separately.
Perhaps I should be clearer, Emily. I'm not sure that I'm actually relatively comfortable the way you've got it drafted now, which is at the level of principle. I'm not actually proposing to strengthen it. If other people want to, I'll probably support them. I just didn't want to suggest that we change what's currently there and say contractual compliance should report to a senior executive. I'm actually more comfortable with it being at the level where it currently is, where it's talking about principles of strategic effort, clear budgeting, reporting, and incentivization, and the like. And then we're going to ask ICANN to consider more broadly the way that it does that, rather than tucking it away in a part of its existing organisational structure. And just to your summation of the conversation with the board, certainly the CEO did initially push back, but he approached a number of us afterwards and is interested in exploring it, and certainly a number of board members were as well. And we've in fact asked for examples of existing organisations like ICAM where there is a structural separation for them to consider.
Mm. I think that if we are going down that road,
are we going down the road less traveled now?
Did someone just drop? Did Emily drop out, or did I go quiet? Did my sound disappear?
No, you're there, Peter. I think Emily's on the road less traveled.
Okay.
Poor Emily. She's having trouble
today.
Poor
Emily. I know.
So, yeah. Peter, I guess I'm not understanding exactly what you're requesting. So,
I'm actually requesting nothing, which is perhaps what's confusing. I was responding to your comment about bringing back in the comment about having a senior executive.
Right.
And to be perfectly clear, the way that Recommendation 3 is drafted now in Emily's version, I'm perfectly happy with that for the first part, because I think it's entirely appropriate that someone within the organisation actually stand up and take...
Is anyone still on the call?
Yep.
But I'm more reluctant to do it for the second part, and I'm actually comfortable with the way that it's worded in terms of broad principles. Does that make sense?
Well, Peter, I was just sort of in mid-sentence and the call dropped, but I think that if we're interested in exploring this, if we would like to encourage ICAM to explore it, then I think we probably need to be a bit more explicit in the recommendations. And what I'd like to do is ask you, and I'm prepared to look at this language as well, to consider something, to put some language there into Recommendation 3 on this sort of structural separation idea. I don't hear anybody strongly objecting, but we don't have a full call. It would be a bit of a change of direction. It's something that we have been hovering around in our compliance small team for a while.
I'm very happy to put something forward with and to work with whoever's interested to do so. Absolutely.
Okay, Peter. Well, how about you and me try and knock up some language before next week to just run past people?
So this is Susan. My concern I expressed this at the Costa Rica meeting is that we don't want to give anything to any of these recommendations to ICAM that they can just check off. We want some action done. And to me, they've already checked off our recommendation 3, and I'm not seeing the change in language that is going to change that situation. So I agree with you in theory, Peter, but in actuality, I think ICANN's going to say, oh, okay, they don't even want a senior executive anymore. They've diluted this. Enlightened the recommendation, and wow, we're doing all of this anyway, and we all know that's not happening.
We could always suggest that since there has been an executive in charge of WHO is since 2010, I believe, the failure to have addressed these issues is actionable.
Are you going to sue them?
No.
Well, that's
Emily.
Now that I'm clear where others are coming from, perhaps you're right, Emily, that we perhaps do have a sentiment in the group that we can move stronger on this. This is one that we previously talked about. We talked about this in San Jose as potentially being our first recommendation, and I think we all agree it's very important. I think we all agree with Susan that we don't want them just to say, "Oh yeah, we've done that."
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Emily, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Sorry, Peter.
I just wanted to make sure we didn't move on, but let me finish your sentence. I apologize.
Oh, I was just going to say, perhaps this is one like the proxy privacy one, where we could get several people working on it to try and come up with something for the next teleconference. It sounds like we've got quite a few people with an interest in this one.
Yeah. Anyone?
But I've got a question before we do that.
Sure. Go ahead.
It's always really hard to admit you don't understand what's going on, but I don't understand what's going on. Not that we have to discuss it now. But let me just say, you know, I got buttonholed on a lot of different issues in the hallways, proxy, privacy, but not on this one. So, you know, just I'm wondering what our findings are. I'm not trying to say they're not there, but what our findings are, because it does seem to me, you know, just, again, I haven't heard what you've heard in the hallways, that like some other compliance issues, this is one that ICANN did take seriously and acted on already. So they're going to try to claim credit for that. John Jeffrey, you know, I'm a lawyer. They've appointed their general counsel to work on these issues. That does seem to be movement forward. There does seem to be a problem with that, but I got to tell you, I'm not sure what the problem is. And so I'm kind of lost. So I think we need some findings and a little more background.
Kathy, I think that's a good motivation for us. Peter and I have offered to try and work on some text, and maybe we can try to express the justification for what we're proposing in that text. And if it's not convincing to the team, then out it goes.
I'm happy to throw some things in there.
And
great.
Could I just have the 1 minute stab at actually starting to answer that question so that Kathy at least has a...
Okay, but we're already 6 minutes over our time, and I'm, you know, so do a minute.
Okay, so I'll do the minute. ICANN has a very important role in overseeing a global industry which is now critical to lots of things. Many other organisations that do this kind of thing, that have an industry regulatory role, have taken very clear steps to pull the regulatory or compliance function out from its operational function, so that there are very clear separations of responsibilities, incentives, and priorities. There are examples where they've been set up as separate companies under the same umbrella, where there are structural separations and very clear lines of reporting. I agree that the General Counsel is a very senior member of ICANN staff, but I do not agree that this is sufficient for an organisation of the stature and importance of what ICANN does in terms of industry regulation. The GAC is arguing in many cases, and the community is supportive of those, that ICANN look to examples of best practice, like really best practice in terms of its conflict of interest and its ethics. It should do equally so in terms of its oversight and compliance activities with regard to this industry. So that's the underlying principle from my point of view.
Thank you so much, Peter. That was great. I appreciate it.
And actually, you're inside a minute, so well done. So I'm going to bring the call to a close at this stage. Thank you very much, everybody, for your time. I think we know what we're going to do in the next week. It is going to be tough for us for the next few weeks, reviving all this work again and getting it done. But we are... You know, we've got a very good product already in our draft to start with. We've got some excellent comments, and I think that we found that interaction very helpful and stimulating for new ideas and ideas for what we could express more clearly. So let's get to work in the next week and produce the stuff that we need to, because that will set us up to, you know, to have the amount of time we need so we can try and avoid the mad scramble at the end. Okay. Thank you, everybody. And good night, as it's 20 to 1 my time.
Ooh. Okay. Sleep well.
See you.
Thanks,
okay.
You
too. Bye.
Bye, all.
Thank you.